Tonight, I'm going to preach on the subject, running the final lap. Running the final lap. And we're going to use for our scripture reading these five verses from 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, here's what the Bible says. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight, for each one that's come. I believe, again, we're here by divine appointment. I believe you have something for each one of us. And so I pray that we'd stay alert, that we'd listen with our hearts and our minds, and we would get for ourselves what you've prepared for us as individuals. So work in our midst, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient. If there's somebody here that's never received Christ, I pray tonight would be the night they make that decision. Just bless the remainder of the service. Thank you for what we've experienced so far. Help us to uplift Christ, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. Paul's writing Timothy, his son, in the gospel. And this is the last book, or one of the last books, that many people think that Paul wrote, Paul authored. And he starts off by warning Timothy. He says, now, here's what's going to happen when the last days come. When those days when Jesus is about to come back, here's how the world and here's how people are going to be characterized when those last days come. Now, if you were paying attention when we read all those adjectives, I think they're all adjectives, or all those adverbs, whatever they are, all those descriptions of different people that are gonna be in the last days, I think you'll come quickly to the conclusion, boy, sounds like the days we're living in now. I mean, all you gotta do is pick up the newspaper, turn on the news, and then you turn to this portion of Scripture and read the Bible, you can come to the conclusion, hey, I think we're in the last days. I think those days that Paul is talking about are here. Now, just so we're all together on this, the next thing that's going to happen on God's calendar is this thing that we refer to as the rapture. Jesus is going to come back. And by the way, I think everything that needs to be done that's in the Bible before the rapture happens has already been done. It's already occurred. I think the rapture could happen at any time. I think, there's nothing else that we need to look for, no other Bible prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. Jesus could come back for His church, and that's what the word raptured means. Mean caught away, carried away. That's what's going to happen next. All of us that are alive, that know Jesus as our Savior, are going to be caught away. Now, nobody knows when that's going to happen. I mean, the angels don't. No preacher does. Even Jesus, the Son of God, doesn't know. His disciples ask Him, when's that going to happen? And He said, hey, nobody knows. But the Father. And one day, God the Father is going to look over at God the Son, and He's going to say, Jesus, go get all the kids. Tell them it's time to come home. Go get them and bring them home with you. And that's the next thing that's going to happen on God's calendar. And after that, after the church is caught away, then the tribulation is going to come. And those that are left will go through those 7 years of tribulation. Satan will be cast into hell for 1,000 years, and Christ will rule and reign, and then that final battle of Armageddon will be fought. But again, nobody knows that day. Nobody knows the day of the rapture. There's people today, as they have down through the years, that are setting dates. They're saying this is when it's going to happen, and they're just fools. And every time they set a date and that date passes, it just proves that they're a fool, and those that follow them are fools. But here's what I want to say tonight. I think we're closer to that event than we've ever been, and I think it's close. I think it's closer than, now nobody can argue with the first statement. It's closer than it's ever been. But you can have your own opinion, but I think it's close. I think we are living in the last days that the Apostle Paul talks about when he writes to Timothy in this second book of Timothy. But I think there are things being blamed on the last days that shouldn't be blamed on the last days. Now let me just give you some examples of what I'm talking about. There are people today that are saying, well, you can't have revival today because we're living in the last days. You just can't get people of God stirred up. You can't get people of God to live like they're the people of God. You can't revive their spirits. You can't revive their souls because we're living in the last days. You have preachers that are saying, well, you can't build churches today. Churches can't grow today. The fields are too hard. People's hearts are hard and their heads are hard. And they just won't listen to the old-fashioned gospel because we're living in the last days. You have Christians that are getting discouraged and they're quitting the things that they're doing for God. They're quitting teaching Sunday school and they're quitting soul winning and they quit church on Sunday night. None of you have done that, so I can preach again with all freedom. They're quitting coming to church on Sunday night and they're quitting coming on Wednesday night. And they say, well, what difference does it make? We're living in the last days. Now, again, I do believe that we're living in the last days. I don't think it'll be long before the trumpet sounds and Jesus will say, come up hither, and we that are alive will be caught up. Of course, those that are dead will precede us. They got 6 feet further to go, but they'll go before us and we'll all go together to meet the Lord in the air. And that's coming. But the last day, so if we are living in the last days, just agree with me for sake of argument tonight. You may think there's a lot of time to come yet, but for sake of argument tonight, just agree with me that we are closer than we've ever been. We're in the last days. Here's my point tonight. The last days are not the time to get tired, give up, and quit. The last days are not the time to get discouraged. The last days are not the time to drop out. The last days are the time to give it more of our energy, more of our effort, and to give it all that we've got. If we're living in the last days, this is the time to be excited about the things of God. We can learn this truth from sports. Think about a basketball game. Now, I know maybe some of you ladies don't know the details about basketball, but and maybe some of you guys, and I'll put myself in this category, I don't know a lot about basketball. I mean, I know you try to shoot the ball through the hoop, and I know they play how long, Dick, 12-minute periods or 20-minute periods? Okay, how about the pros? So four 15-minute periods. But I've learned a little bit of basketball that I watch. It seems like the last 2 minutes last for an hour. I mean, the whole game's only supposed to last for an hour, but it seems like the last 2 minutes last for an hour because the coaches are always calling, you know, timeout and getting their team over to the bench. Now, just let me paint this scenario for you. What would you think of a coach? The score is tied. They're down to the last minute of the game. So the coach gathers all his team around and he says this, well, guys, we only got a minute to play. Just 60 seconds. You played a hard game. Why don't you just take it easy for the last 60 seconds? Just sort of lay back and enjoy yourselves. I mean, we're tied. We might win or we might lose, but you played a hard game for the first 59 minutes, only a minute to go. Just take it easy. Any of you ever been in a squad like that where the coach says that? You ever heard a coach say that, Dick? No, Herb, you played football. Did you ever get to the last minute of the game and the coach says, hey, guys, we're tied. It could be anybody's game, but you played hard the last 59 minutes. Just take it easy this last minute. No coach in his right mind is going to say that. I mean, if the game is tied, if the game can be lost or won in the last 60 seconds or the last 30 seconds, here's what the coach is going to do. He's going to get everybody around him saying, "Now look, you played hard. We can still win this game. We only got a minute left. I'm not asking you to play another 30 minutes. I'm not asking you to play hard another 5 minutes. I'm asking you to give it all you got for the last 60 seconds of the game. I know you're tired. I know you want to go sit down. I know you're probably thirsty. But for just give me another minute. Just give me another 60 seconds. Play with everything you got, and let's win the game." Well, that's what the coach says. But these people that are saying, "Well, we can't do nothing for God because it's the last days," they're saying, "Well, it's the last days. Why try? It's the last days. We're not going to be able to do anything anyway. So just take it easy." We don't learn that from sports. I mean, every coach, can you think of a hockey coach? Is Scotty Bowman still the coach of the Red Wings, or he did retire? Who's the coach now? Who? Lewis? Dave Lewis. Okay. I don't know much about hockey either. But let's say you're in the third period, three periods in a hockey game, right? Okay, so you're in the third period. There's a minute left. You're tied. Now in hockey, I think, you go into overtime if you're tied. Is that right? Even during the regular season? So, here's the coach. He calls his team together. He says, "We only got a minute to play. We're tied. If we tie, we'll go into overtime. So let's just play for the tie." I don't think any coach in his right mind would say that. A coach would say, "Look, we got a minute left. Let's give it all we got. Let's not go to overtime. Let's win it in regulation time. Let's win it in the next 60 seconds. A race. A foot race. A relay. Whatever kind of race. Where you make laps around a track. I hated gym because I hated to run. I didn't mind running when I was out playing baseball, but I hated to run in circles. I figured I probably got more training for my life in gym running in circles than I did when I went to college. Anyhow, but you're in a race. That was a joke. You could smile at that. You're in a race where you're running around a track, and you get down to the last lap, and you say, "Hey, just one more lap to go. Instead of racing with all I got, I think I'll just jog. I mean, I'll finish that last lap, but I'll just jog, make my way to the finish line." And if you're running the race to win, that's not what you'll say. What you'll say is, "I only got one more lap to go. Just one more time around the track and I'll be done. I'm tired, I'm wore out, I can't hardly breathe. My lungs feel like they're going to explode. My legs feel like they're going to fall off. But I only got to make it one more time around the track. I'm going to give it all I've got." Now, Paul, in other parts of the Bible, says this, and I'm going to put it into my own words. He says, "I didn't get into this game just to play. I got into this game to win." He compared it to a boxer. He says, "Man, to a boxing match." He says, "When I box, I just don't want to beat the air. I want to make contact with somebody. If I'm going to box, I want to fight to win." So he compared it to a wrestling match. He said, "Look, I don't want to just wrestle for the sake of wrestling. I want to win the game." And I can't tell you how many times in my experience, and you think about yours, that it's in the final inning or the final minute or the final half a minute that many games in the sporting world are won or lost. In the final minute. In the final inning. I mean, I heard on the radio, I don't follow the Tigers very much, but I heard last night they were one out away from winning. One out away from winning. And they lost in 10 innings. Because the other team tied the score, and then they had to go to extra innings. So, again, here's my point. I'm doing something very unusual. I'm not doing it tonight because I got more than one point. But here's the major theme of my message. Okay, we're in the last days. It's not the time to give up. It's not the time to quit. This is the time to give it all we've got to bring people into the kingdom of God. Here's some statistics. I read not too long ago that the world population grows at the rate of 199,000 people a day. Okay, so let's just round it off. Make it easy math. The world population grows at the rate of 200,000 people a day. Last year, across the world, Southern Baptist churches won 400,000 people to Christ. Now, that's a lot of people, 400,000 people. But if you do the math, that would be everybody that was born on January the 1st and January the 2nd. 400,000 people, if people are being born at 200,000 a day, and last year we won 400,000 people, we won the people that were born, not the people that were born last year, but you do the math, you know what I'm talking about. We won the people that were born on January 1st and January 2nd. That means if we're the only ones winning people to Christ, that everybody that was born from January 3rd through December 31st would die and go to hell. Now, we're not the only ones winning people to Christ. Let's say there's 10 other groups of churches that are doing the same thing. They're winning 400,000 people a year to Christ. So there's 10 groups doing that all together. Do the math. That would take us up through January the 20th. January 20th. All the people that are born, the 4 million people that are born in the first 20 days of the year would be saved. But everybody from January 21st through December 31st would die and go to hell. So don't say, let's not say, well, we're living in the last days, so we might as well quit. We're living in the last days. It's getting soon to the day that Jesus is going to come. So let's just relax and take it easy. We're living in the last days, so let's just sort of set back and stop. I want you to think about the 6,900,000 people that will be born between January 21st and December 31st, headed for hell if somebody doesn't tell them about Jesus. What about them? What about them? So it is the final inning. So it is the last minute of the game. So it is the final lap in our race. What do we do? I'll give you four suggestions tonight. Number one, keep looking at Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Familiar verses. We've read them before. I want to read them again for you tonight. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I want you to notice two words in those verses, first of all. In verse 1, it said, wherefore, seeing, we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witness. Seeing. And then in verse 2, where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to make a distinction tonight in those two words. You see, as I look toward heaven, I can see the checkered flag. As I look toward heaven, I can see the finish line. As I look toward heaven, I can see the grandstand where this great cloud of witnesses are setting. I can see the Apostle Paul. I can see Peter. I can see James and John. I can see Timothy. I can see my grandmas sitting in that grandstand of heaven. I can see my aunt and uncle. I can see the pastors that I've had and the Sunday school teachers who've invested their life, part of their life, in me. And I can see them sitting in the grandstand of heaven, and I can, not literally, but I can hear their cheers. And I can hear their encouragement. I can hear them say, don't quit. I can hear them say, hey, it is the last inning, but keep going. Hey, it is the last lap, but give it all you've got. I can see all them. And that's good. It's good to see that great cloud of witnesses. It's good to see those that have gone before. But what the apostle, and I think it was the apostle Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews, but what the writer of Hebrews says, yeah, it's good to see that cloud of witnesses, but you look at Jesus. I mean, you keep your eyes on Him. As I look at Jesus, I can see out of my peripheral vision, I can see the grandstand of heaven. I can see out of the side of my eyes all those that are sitting there. I can see all the apostles, and I can see all the disciples, and I can see all those that I've loved that have gone on before, and all those that have helped me grow in my Christian walk. I can see those out of the side of my eyes, my peripheral vision. But I want to keep my eyes focused on Jesus. I want to look to Jesus. I want to see Him on the cross. I want to see Him dying for me. I want to see Him in the grave. I want to see Him 3 days coming up out of that grave. I want to see Him today sitting at the right hand of the throne of God as my advocate. I want to keep my eyes on Him. I want to look at Him. It's good to see all that other stuff. But I'm going to look to Him. And that's what the writer says that we need to do. You see, you look at other people, they're going to disappoint you. But you keep looking at Jesus, and He'll never disappoint you. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Sort of like Peter, I was thinking about him this afternoon. He got out of that boat. Remember, Jesus, he was in the boat. They were in a boat in the middle of the storm, and Jesus comes walking to him on the water, and he said, and they were afraid when they saw him, and he said, hey, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter said, well, if it's really you, tell me to come unto you. And Jesus said, okay, come on. Come. And Peter slid out of that boat and he started walking on that water over to Jesus and he looked to Jesus. Now he saw the storm. He saw the waves. He saw maybe the boat rocking back and forth. But he was looking at Jesus. As long as he looked at Jesus, he stayed on top. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, and instead of seeing the storm, he started looking at the storm. Instead of seeing the waves, he looked at the waves. Instead of seeing the rocking of the boat and the wind and all that other stuff, he looked at it. And he saw Jesus out of the corner of his eye. He saw Jesus with his peripheral vision. What happened to him? He sank. He started sinking. And if we're going to give it all that we've got in the final lap of this race, if we're going to give it all that we've got in the final inning of this game, if we're going to give it all that we've got, then we need to keep looking to Jesus. Number two, we need to lay aside the weight and the sin. Now, we've talked about this before. I want to give you an example, though. You're on a basketball team. The score is tied. You're down to the last 30 seconds. The coach calls the team over and he says, guys, I know you're tired, I know you're thirsty, and I know you're hungry. So I ordered us pizza. Have some pizza. Is there anything wrong with pizza, Brother Earl? No. Good. Pizza's good for you, right? Well, I don't know if I go that far, but you get some good pizza. Would you eat it the last 30 seconds of the game, Dick? Why? That's right. You eat all that pizza, you ain't going to be able to jump as high. You eat pizza and drink Coca-Cola, you ain't going to be able to run as fast. You eat pizza, nothing wrong with eating pizza. I like pizza every now and then. But I'm not going to eat pizza when there's 30 seconds left in a game when we still have a chance to win. And that's what the writer's saying here. I'll put it in my own words. We're in the last days. Don't eat the pizza till it's open. Over. We're in the last inning. And I'm not telling you to quit eating pizza. Don't misunderstand me. You get my point. What I'm saying is, don't do anything that would weigh you down. Don't do anything that would slow you down. Don't do anything that would keep you from giving your very best for Jesus. It's the last days. So look to Jesus. Lay aside the weight and the sin. Number three, stay wired up to heaven. Stay wired up to heaven. What I mean by that, you keep praying. You keep praying. Now, I'll give you another illustration. At work, we sponsor race cars. And again, it's funny to me, they always have their races on Sunday. I don't know why they can't race on other days of the week, but they always have their races on Sunday. They said, oh, you got to go down and see a race. I said, I'm not going if it's on Sunday. Get somebody else to go. So this past week, as part of our United Way campaign, we had a couple of these race car drivers in. And they had a big meeting in the conference room, and they let us people that don't know much about racing ask them questions. So this one girl, I don't think who's even watched a race, she must have watched a race because of the question she asked, but she raised her hand and said, hey, I got a question for you. I've noticed that, especially as the race comes down to the finish, when you only got a few laps to go, that you guys you just seem to change lanes like this, and it doesn't even look like you look over your shoulder. And you don't even put your turn signal on. And the driver says, well, there's no turn signal in our race cars. I mean, there's no lights on the back. Those are just decals. So we can't put our turn signal on. But she said, well, I've noticed that just especially in the last laps of the race, you just whip that wheel around and you'll pull in front of somebody and you'll change lanes and it doesn't even look like you're looking over your shoulder to see if there's anybody there. How do you do that? And this guy says, well, when you're going 200 miles an hour and you're trying to win, you don't have time to look over your shoulder. So what we have is we have somebody up in the tower that we're connected to with a radio. And we have our earphones on, and he's watching us as we drive around the track. And when he sees that we can change lanes and get an advantage on somebody or get ahead, he'll say, cut to the right or cut to the left. And we don't look to see if there's anybody there. We just do what he says. We cut to the right, we cut to the left, and we get in front of them. And I thought to myself, hey, that's pretty good. That's how we ought to be as Christians. If we're in the last laps and we're trying to win, then we ought to keep wired up to heaven so that when God says, go, we go. And when God says, preach, we preach. And when God says, teach, we teach. We don't have to look over our shoulder. We don't have to figure out if it's the right time to do it or not. We just got to listen to the one up in the grandstand that can see what's going on, knows what we need to do, and when he says it, just do it. So stay wired up to heaven. You do that by praying. You do that by staying in the Bible. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, that's exactly what we ought to do. Pray without ceasing. And then number four, we need to run. Run. Wherefore we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Not a time to walk. Not a time to jog. Not a time, I see these people on Saturday morning in my neighborhood. They're not really walking and they're not really running. I don't know what they call it. What? Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're. I don't know what they're doing. Yeah, power walking, I guess that's it. That's not the time for power walking. It's the time to run. The time to run. Haven't got much time left. If we're going to win these people to Jesus, we need to do it today. And we can't do it with half-hearted effort. We need to give it all that we got. Last days? I think so. But let's not use it's the last days in an excuse. People can still be won to Christ. Churches can still grow. Revivals can still be had in the hearts of Christians, even though we're in the last days. Let's run. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these simple instructions from your word. And I pray that as we are in the last days, and you know, Father, you know when the last days are. It sure seems as we observe what's going on in our world that we're in the middle of them, but you know. And so I pray that you would give us the right sense of urgency, that you would give us the right sense of boldness, you would give us the right sense of faithfulness, that we'd stick with the job, we'd stick to what you called us to do. Help us in these last days to be a mighty force for you. Help us to win people to Christ. Help us to bring people into the church. Help us to be everything that you want us to be, to Jesus' glory. Father, I pray for those that might be here tonight that don't know Christ. I pray tonight they'd see themselves as a sinner. They'd see the penalty for that sin. They'd see the price that Jesus paid for it when he went to Calvary. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've been working on them in the past few minutes. And you're telling them right now that they need to make that decision for Jesus. Help them make it tonight. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. Which in Christ's name we pray. Amen.